This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 1 Chronicles. Now here's Pastor Sandy in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 14 with today's edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
Chapter 14. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees with masons and carpenters to build him a house. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, for his kingdom was highly exalted because of his people Israel. Then David took more wives in Jerusalem, and David begot more sons and daughters. And you remember Deuteronomy 17, verse 17, prohibited the Hebrew king from building a harem, from multiplying wives. God's word to the kings of Israel, one is enough. And David sinned by building up a harem there in Jerusalem. And these are the names of his children whom he had in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elipelet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Beliada. And you notice how toward the end they started running out of names, and so they came up with this last one, Eliphelet. 13 kids born to David there in Jerusalem. Little elephant being the last. They kept all of the baby items in his trunk. That's not even in my notes. I just came up with it. Stick to the script. Good advice. Verse 8. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim, or the valley of the giants. You remember, facing the giants. That's what David is doing here, facing the giants. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And notice this. This is what made David a man after God's own heart. David seeks God before he takes action. Is this your strategy? Is this how you approach life? Do you seek God before you take action? You should. Save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of problem if you would. And the Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand." And so they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand, like a breakthrough of water." Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means Lord of the Breakthroughs. And my, I like that name. If you're stuck in a rut, if you've been spinning your wheels getting nowhere spiritually, seek Jesus, for he is the Lord of the Breakthroughs. You know, some of us have beaten our heads against the wall for way too many years. We've tried a million ways to get rid of our ball and chain. What we need is a breakthrough. Is that what you need? Well, I know who can help. The Lord of the Breakthroughs is his name. Well, when they had left their gods there, the Philistine idols, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Here David acts like Donald Trump on The Apprentice, and he says to the false gods of the Philistines, "Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley." Now I want you to notice the Philistines launch another raid under almost identical circumstances. And I'm afraid that most of us would just assume that God would want us to win the victory with the same strategy we had just a few days before. But David doesn't take anything for granted. This is important. Therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said to him, "You shall not go up after them." Same battle, same conditions, same enemy, same army, but different strategy this time. God has a different plan. "You shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear a sound of marching." You know, the wind blowing in the top of the mulberry trees, the sound of marching up in the top of the trees. Then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. God commands David and his army to wait on the wind. Remember that. To wait on the wind. Verse 16. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Here's the moral of the story. Just because God works one way in the past doesn't mean he'll work the same way in the future. Don't assume. Seek God. Hey, God's command to us today is the same as it was for David. We also need to wait on the wind. We need to be led and empowered by the fresh breeze of God's Spirit. You see, pre-programmed, patterned solutions are never God's method. God's will is blowing in the wind. God wants His people led by the Spirit, not some formula. We need to wait on the wind, the marching in the mulberries, the wind blowing our direction. We need to be led and we need to follow the fresh breeze of the Holy Spirit. Well, chapter 15 begins. David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever." David's been reading up on this, huh? The old boy decided to get his Bible out. Thumb through a few pages. Let's read up on this before we try this again. He's learned his lesson. And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. Then David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites, and there were 862 Levites. Verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Azariah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. And he said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult him about the proper order." And so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Now David adds some knowledge and some obedience to his spiritual fervor, and God gets glorified. But as we saw with Uzzah, zeal without knowledge becomes dangerous. This is why churches today that downplay the teaching of the word and focus almost solely on worship, this is why those churches are destined for failure. For without God's word, how do we know if we're worshiping God properly and appropriately? Again, Jesus tells us to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Well, then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy. This time David adds music to the processional, and he appoints singers and musicians to accompany the ark to Jerusalem. David tells the Levitical ensemble to raise the praise. Go out with a resounding joy. And I love that expression, a resounding joy. You see, this is biblical worship in two words. True praise is the echo or the resounding of the joy God puts in our hearts. God fills our hearts with joy, and then we echo that joy back to Him. This praise is the resounding joy that He puts in us. He sings into us, and then we sing back to him, a resounding joy. Verses 17 to 24, they list the names of the singers and the musicians and the attendants who were recruited for the moving of the ark. And after what happened earlier to Uzzah, you could probably add that these people were men of courage and great faith. So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And so it was when God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark, the singers, and Chenaniah, the music master with the singers. Chenaniah, the music master with his singers. Sounds like the name of a group. David also wore a linen ephod, and of course, the ephod was a priestly apron. Thus, all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps. Oh my, it was a joyous day in all Israel, except in the king's own household. For verse 29, and it happened as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, Saul's daughter. Notice, Ezra refers to her as Saul's daughter. But she was also David's wife. You know, it was one of those moments. You know, like when, you know, Kathy says to me, hey, Carol's son, get over here. Rather than, hey, honey, my husband, come over here, you know. She's not at this moment, she's not behaving like David's wife. She's behaving like Saul's daughter, okay? And Michal looked through a window and saw King David whirling and playing music. And she despised him in her heart. David went home that night with a resounding joy in his heart. The ark was now at the heart of the capital of Jerusalem. But when he arrives home, his wife, Michal, throws a damper on the day, and she greets him with a resounding thud. 2 Samuel chapter 6 tells us the couple had words. These two lovebirds lay an egg. You see, David had done a jig for Jesus. He'd been out there dancing and whirling and twirling. He had thrown off all of his inhibition. You know, people talk about, well, you know, how was he dressed, you know? Was he naked? Did he dance in his underwear? Did he have his little ephod? I mean, what was he wearing? I don't know what he was wearing. I do know this. He had thrown off all inhibition. He had thrown off all self-preoccupation. He is dancing his praise uninhibitedly, boldly before the Lord. And his wife is looking out the window, and she is resenting this undignified action. She's becoming unglued. You see, Michal was Saul's daughter. And you remember, above all else, Saul's one concern was his own image. You see, Saul's idol was not a graven image, it was his own self-image. Saul would always try to act royal and dignified. He would never have humbled himself before the people. Never. And Michal thought that David's uninhibited display of worship, his whirling about, lacked the dignity of a king. David, though, had a different idea of what it meant to be king. David was concerned, more concerned with pleasing God than maintaining a proper public image. Saul followed his approval ratings on CNN. He was always doing the focus groups and consulting the opinion polls before he took action. David followed his heart. David followed God, and he followed his heart, and he was in love with God, and he acted like it. You see, Saul wanted the people's worship. David wanted to worship God. That was the difference between these two men. And at the moment, she acted like Saul's daughter, no doubt about it, rather than David's wife. Chapter 16. And so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Now again, this was not the tabernacle of Moses, nor is this the temple of Solomon. That's yet to come. This was a tent that had just been erected for by David just for this purpose of providing a temporary home for the ark. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And then he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. Sounds like a box lunch, you know, just the kind of thing we serve folks at the pastor's conference. You know, it's got a little piece of meat, a little piece of bread, a little box of little raisins, you know, in there, and it's all just kind of packaged neatly in there. And David feeds these worship. I mean, hey, you worship God with all your might, and you can work up an appetite. And David has just finished moving the ark, making all these sacrifices, and so he works up a little box lunch for the people. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Notice the threefold function of music here in David's reign: commemorate, thanks, praise. Music needs to memorialize God's work, show our gratitude, and give God praise. Verse 5. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, then Jeiel, several other guys. And Jeiel with stringed instruments and harps. But Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaiah and Jahaziel, the priest, they regularly blew the trumpets before the ark of the covenant of God. And on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph, his brethren, to thank the Lord. This psalm seems to be a compilation of several other psalms written by David at different times. The three psalms that appear in this psalm: Psalm 96, Psalm 105, and Psalm 106. In fact, if you compare verses 8 through 22 with Psalm 105, verses 1 through 15, you'll see an amazing similarity. Then verses 23 through 33, compare that with Psalm 96, verses 1 through 13. And then finally, verses 34 through 36, compare that with Psalm 106, verse 1, and then verses 47 and 48. And you'll see that this psalm is actually a grouping of these different passages from these other psalms. So understanding that, we're going to wait and study this psalm when we get to the same passages in the other psalms when we get to the book of Psalms. But I thought what we'd do tonight is we'd read through this psalm. You just catch its full force as we read it through in one setting. Verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. In your time after the service today, I hope that's what you're doing. Not talking about who's going to win on American Idol or Dancing with the Stars or baseball or whatever. I hope you're doing these things. You're talking of all God's wondrous ways. You're singing His deeds among the peoples. You're praising Him. He says, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth, O seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. Now, just to pause, is there any debate in God's mind over who that chunk of land belongs to over there? Seems to be no issue with God. David calls this an everlasting covenant. He says, this is a covenant good through 1,000 generations. To you, Abraham, and your seed, I will give the land of Canaan as an allotment for your inheritance. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. Palestinians, you're out in the cold. This land belongs to the Jews. It belongs to Israel. Why? Because God gave it to them. And the whole world belongs to God, so he can give it to whoever he pleases. Now I'm not saying that there's not a place for the Palestinians and we shouldn't show love and compassion toward them. We certainly should, and we should preach them the gospel of Jesus. But that land that they're fighting over, does it belong to them? It belongs to God, and God gave it to Israel. And that's exactly what our passage tells us. When you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Oh, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen. And praise the Lord. Now, who does the land belong to? Who does the land of Israel belong to? Belongs to God. And God gave it to who? To Israel. No questions. If you believe the Bible. So David left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister before the ark regularly, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with his 68 brethren, including Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun, and Hosa to be gatekeepers. And Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord which he commanded Israel. And with them, Heman, and Jeduthun, and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun. You know, if you're a He-Man, you can lift the praise. That's what makes a He-Man. Somebody that can lift up the praise. And so with them, Heman and Jeduthun, to sound aloud with trumpets and cymbals and the musical instruments of God. Now the sons of Jeduthun were gatekeepers. Then all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house.
You've been listening to Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams, here at Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is teaching his way through the book of 1 Chronicles. Do you have a favorite cherished item that's been in your family for longer than you can remember? Who gave it to you? Who had it before them? There's a rich history behind such treasured items. And so it was with King David and his faith in God. He wanted to make sure that he passed down to his descendants what he knew to be true of God. Will you pass down the blessing of God's strength in your life? How about His faithfulness? At sandyadams.org, we would love to answer any questions you might have or pray with you. Just find the contact tab at the top of our page and you're all set. Or you can call us at this number, 770-736-2828. Again, that's 770-736-2828. While you're there, why don't you stay a while and listen to some past teachings or download our mobile app? That way, you can dive into God's Word with us anywhere you are at any time. That website again is sandyadams.org. Well, that's about all we have time for today, but we look forward to continuing this study with you in the next edition. Thanks for listening to Sandy Adams Radio.